Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. This show is presented by Dr. Ben McMillan of the Neal Clinic, who's responsible for information and opinions expressed during the show.
Wow, I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
Right. Good morning, Jenna.
Morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Thank you for having me on again. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor. The reason I'm here this morning is to talk a little bit about pain and how your chiropractor can help you. I've got a few topics I want to cover this morning, but as always, if you have a chiropractic question that you want answered, text me your questions, and I'll get to as many of those as I can this morning. And Jenna, I keep telling myself every time, I'm going to write this number down so I don't have to keep asking you, but give it to me one more time. What's that number to send in the text messages to?
Listen, don't steal my moment to shine.
Okay. Well, good. I'm good at that. I don't remember it every time.
The Dr. Ice Pack has to let Jenna Barr shine sometimes. Yeah. 850-437-1620. Come on into the conversation this morning. Text or call 850-437-1620.
Awesome. Let's get into it this morning. So typically I'll prepare some notes, a few topics to discuss, and I choose these really just kind of based on what I've seen in my clinic over the past few days. And recently I've had several patients that have strained their backs, actually pretty mundane chores and activities around the house. So I thought I'd talk about some strain injuries this morning. And I don't know if it was a coincidence or if I jinxed myself when I wrote that down, sprain, strain, but last night I had the misfortune of experiencing a minor ankle sprain myself. So I'm walking a little funny this morning, but nobody fear out there. I'll survive. And thankfully, I know how to take care of these injuries. And by the end of the show, hopefully you will too this morning. So that's one topic I wanted to discuss today. Jenna, I'm gonna put you on the spot again here. Do you know the difference between a sprain and a strain?
Oh, is a strain with a muscle and a sprain with a bone?
Ooh, well, no? You're so close. Oh, that is so close.
Oh, man.
You get an 85% on that.
Okay.
Yeah, so the sprain is of a ligament. So the ligaments connect the bones. It's a tissue that connects bones. The strain, you're exactly spot on. The muscle. So these ligaments are in your body. They're that fibrous connective tissue that, like Jenna said, connects two bones together, oftentimes around joints, right? That's two bones to make up a joint. And these ligaments serve as the primary kind of static stabilizer to limit our end ranges of motion. Forces that cause movements beyond that normal range of motion, well, that's where you damage these ligaments. That's where you can damage the discs in your back. Or we talk about, an injury to a joint capsule. Typically, that's that ligament injury. And I say they're static because you can't really contract them or really force your body to move them, right? If all you had in the joint was a ligament, that joint just moves kind of from some other reason. A muscle somewhere else is making it move. Ligaments, they're just kind of there to add support and stability to your body, which is a good thing. So the ligaments are static, whereas the muscles, they act more as a dynamic stabilizer. And again, their job is to provide stability to the spine any joint really, through its normal range of motion. These are dynamic because you're actually able to contract and relax different muscles and muscle groups in order to add, we call it dynamic stability for your body as you move in different ways, right? Like it makes sense. If I need to lift something really heavy up over my head to get on, the top of my car, I need a different set of muscles to activate in order to press that thing over my head than if I was just going to pick something up off the floor, right? I don't need to contract all the same muscles every single time. So we're able to kind of use our mind. We don't really think about it, but that's just the way our body operates, thankfully. And we're able to control that. But these muscle strains, they can often result from what's called an eccentric muscle contraction in response to like an excessive or oftentimes unexpected external force, right? And that word eccentric muscle contraction, it's the opposite of the concentric is the opposite term there. Easiest way to explain this, everybody's kind of familiar with those bicep curls. So when you pick the weight up, it's down by your side, your arm's straight, and you raise that up. That's a concentric contraction of your bicep muscle. You're making it smaller, shorter. The eccentric is that really lowering down action. And you can imagine if you get, you know, start with your bicep concentrically contracted, and I put a 150-pound weight in your hand, you're going to have that eccentric muscle injury because you're not going to be able, 99% of us out there are not going to be able to hold that 150 pounds in your hand. They grade these injuries, these sprain strains, based on the extent of tissue damage and really how much instability there is in the joint after that injury. These things range from a mild grade 1 to a complete tear, which is a grade 3. And how do you tell the difference? It's actually really difficult to differentiate without some sort of imaging the difference between a sprain and a strain. Typically, the muscles are really close to ligaments. They surround the joints. And oftentimes, you get both at the same time. Well, the term sprain-strain injury kind of goes together. But it's really, it's kind of inconsequential because the treatment for both is really the same. So, of course, like we were talking about, you can have that traumatic injury as a way to hurt yourself. But another way to incur a sprain-strain injury is through a stress that's applied over an extended period of time or over again, those repetitive motions. These are going to lead to muscle fatigue. They'll lead to inflammation and some micro tearing. Things like prolonged static postures, having to hold one position for a long time, right? A poor workstation environment. Like I said, repetitive movements, improper lifting, sedentary lifestyle, or like poor conditioning, just overall like not having the right strength at the right time in the right areas. Those are all ways that you can end up with a sprain or strain that aren't necessarily that one, hey, I had that 150 pounds and I just couldn't hold it. I'll tell you one of the biggest one of those stressors that doesn't really sound all that stressful when we say it out loud is prolonged sitting, right? I mean, that's the way some of us kind of relax. But this prolonged sitting, it decreases something called your lumbar lordosis, which is just that natural kind of inward curve of your lower back. And that can lead to tissue stress, and over time, it can actually cause some injuries. And I got bad news, Jenna. The research on this stuff shows that females are more frequently affected than males from these types of injuries, these prolonged static postures, the...
I wonder why that is.
It didn't really have a good reason, but that's what the numbers show. And one question I had is if they're just underreported. You know, how many times does the men in our
pain.
World are just, yeah, we'll do something about it later. We don't even, that's just part of my day.
That's crazy.
The symptoms from these sprain strain, like how do you know if you've got one? Well, again, kind of tough because they come in all varieties. Again, they can be pretty mild, and some of these are actually pretty debilitating. The pain may begin abruptly, so you might feel it right after you drop that heavy weight. But more commonly, these can develop gradually in the hours or days following the insult or the injury to that muscle tissue or those ligaments. They can feel like just kind of an overall dull, achy sensation. It's poorly defined, right? It's not one specific area. You can't pinpoint it, but it's just, you know, this whole area here on my low back hurts. And sometimes that can intensify and actually become sharp with some movements. I bet a lot of people have felt that, you know, dull ache, and you twist one way and you go, oh, there's that sharp pain, kind of catches you. Sometimes these things can wake you up at night. But even if you're able to kind of just sit and rest or, you know, get off your feet if it's the, like for me, my ankle, but you don't want to stay off of it for too long because that can lead to stiffness and a whole other slew of problems. So now how does your chiropractor help with this stuff? the initial treatment for these injuries, my first job, job number one, reduce pain. Then my goals are to improve the function and reduce the amount of those work days lost, right? Everybody wants to know, how long do I have to stay home? How long do I have to stay off of this? It may not be work days necessarily, but whatever activity it is you want to get back to, which is why I most often see people, they come in and say, hey, I can't do this anymore because I hurt. I want to get back to doing that. So let's reduce the amount of those days lost. How does your chiropractor do that? Well, there's several ways, and it really depends on what therapies and modalities are available at your chiropractic clinic. But some of the tools and techniques that I use at Daniil Clinic include this electrotherapy modalities. And most people know these as a TENS unit. Although the therapy that I use is actually a little different than the traditional TENS, I use something called interferential current, IFC, ICF. It goes by a couple different names. And it acts in a similar way, but accomplishes a different goal. And we actually had a listener text in a question last week, and I didn't get to answer it, so I thought I'd include it in today's show. And it was about those TENS units. And I actually get a lot of questions about these things, so let me talk about that for just a minute. Many people, especially people that have had kind of any kind of back pain, have probably heard of these things, if not tried them. Jen, have you heard of these TENS units before?
Mm-mm. I haven't used it personally, and okay. I've maybe heard of it in passing.
Yeah, it sounds familiar, yeah. But not really something
you've
ever...
It's not something I've been offered, actually. Okay.
So what are these TENS units? First of all, has nothing to do with the number 10. What it actually means is transcutaneous electric nerve stimulation. And I'm very happy that they decided to go with the acronym TENS, because that's a mouthful. But anyway, these TENS units, they use two little electric pads, kind of these little gel pads that are placed on the skin, to transmit a specific frequency and wavelength of this electric current to your body. Now, the purpose of this is to reduce the pain sensation at those pads and around the placement of the pads, which anyone who's ever had some back pain knows this is a good thing. Believe me, if your back is hurting, you're going to want some pain relief. And these can be a pretty good option, especially at home, because like many electronics these days, they've been able to make these things highly portable, pretty discreet. They're often battery powered and pretty user friendly and easy to set up. However, you know, like most things out there, there's a but coming. These TENS units are a good way to reduce pain while you're using them. But that's really all they're accomplishing, is just some temporary pain reduction. The way these things work is explained by something called the gate control theory of pain. And everybody out there, whether you've used a TENS unit or not, has experienced this gate control theory before. You probably just didn't know it. So let me explain it briefly. The reason that we experience the sensations of pain all has to do with our nerves, right? Which is a bummer. Pain's the worst. Why do our nerves have to betray us like this? You know, they do so many good things, but pain is also one of those things that they're going to do. But without the nerves, you wouldn't experience the pain at all. So what happens, you have this mechanical, sometimes chemical stimulus. Let's say you've bent down to pick something up and strain the muscles in your back. The nerves sense this muscle strain, and they relay a pain signal back to your spinal cord that then travels all the way up to your brain. And your brain interprets that signal, and then you feel pain. Now, all this happens instantaneously, right? It's not like a slow-moving process. As soon as you bent down to pick it up, oftentimes you feel that pain. It's pretty quick. But what the gate theory states is that there's both excitatory and inhibitory synapses that occur in your spinal cord. So when you experience pain, those nerves become excited, and they begin to send those pain signals up to your brain. They're saying, hey, something's wrong here. Send him some pain so, you know, he knows that there's an injury, some tissue injury here. However, you're able to inhibit or kind of block those signals if you can activate those inhibitory synapses. The way many of this the way many of us have experienced this gait theory is probably as children. Jenna, you've got kids. Do you remember a time maybe when they fell down or scraped their knee or their elbow? What's the first thing they do?
Well, one will jump up, the other one will freak out.
Yeah. So they probably grab the elbow, right? They start to kind of rub it. The second thing, they probably start running over to you and say, hey, take care of this. Maybe kiss my elbow, Mom.
Right.
Like, make this all better. And that's because that actual soft touch or gentle pressure is actually one way to activate those inhibitory synapses that temporarily shut off the pain signal to our brain.
Oh, how cool.
So that, like, rubbing that area, I bumped my elbow, let me rub it, it actually does make you feel better. You know, I'm not saying that moms have that magical touch. They actually do. But they, you know, that's a proven theory to help reduce pain. And we all still do this, right? If I'm talking about someone hurting their back, and if you imagine that image in your head, or maybe somebody that has a crick in their neck, what do you see? You imagine them grabbing at their back, you know, that kind of arm behind them, hand on the lower back, or kind of rubbing, massaging their neck. We all do that stuff. And that's because we're trying to shut down that pain gate, close that gate, inhibit those excitatory synapses in our spinal cord. And that's what the gait theory is all about. Now, I know if you ask them why they're rubbing their back, that's not what they're going to say, right? No one's coming up and saying, oh, I'm using the gait theory to inhibit my pain synapses in my spinal cord, the dorsal horn up to my brain, so this feels a little better.
That would be impressive.
Yeah, it would be annoying. No one would. You just say, whatever, man.
You're just like, showing off, yeah. Doogie Howser.
But that's actually what's happening. So back to the TENS unit. Now that you understand a little bit about how those pain signals work, this is 2021, right? We've developed technology to help us activate these inhibitory signals now. And that's exactly what the TENS unit is designed to work on. Someone much smarter than me developed a machine that could use these electrical impulses to pass through your skin to inhibit those pain signals that reach your brain. It kind of scrambles that message, which is great. You put these things on and get some relief. But here comes the but with these. These units, you know, they only provide a temporary relief while you're using them. You know, it's kind of like rubbing the elbow. That'll help for a little bit, but you can't just rub the elbow for hours on end until the pit. That's not how the gait theory really works. Those excitatory synapses come back, the pain's still there. But these TENS units, they don't actually help fix your problem. And again, I'm an advocate for using these things at home to get some relief, but they're kind of like electronic Advil. It helps you while you have it on, but we really need to get to the source of the problem and fix it in order to help you heal. I talked a little bit about the interferential current that I use, and it's a similar electrotherapy to the TENS, those TENS units, but its goal and mechanism are a little different. That interferential current, I'm just going to call it IFC, it's a little easier to say. Instead of using just the two-pad setup, it uses four pads in this kind of crossed setup to pass a similar electric current through your body. However, this electric current and the frequency are a little different than TENS, and that allows it to go penetrate deeper into your body tissue and to stimulate the body to not only block that pain through that gait theory, but it also helps, first of all, reduce inflammation. I talk about that stuff all the time. We got to reduce the inflammatory response in your body, but it actually speeds up tissue repair. It can even help with, like, fractured bones. I mean, it's proven to help decrease the amount of time it takes you to recover, which is exactly why I use this therapy application at my clinic, right? Because it's actually helping you heal while also reducing your pain. The units, the actual machines that are able to produce this current are typically much larger than those little handheld units some of you guys are, you know, looking around at your house at right now. And they require power to be drawn from the wall outlet instead of just those two little AA half-charged batteries like those home TENS units use, which is why many people probably aren't as familiar with the IFC current as they are the TENS. But that's just one of the additional tools that I use at the Neo Clinic to help with these sprain strain injuries. One of the other therapies that I use every day is our Class 4 laser. My patients love this laser that we have at the clinic. I guess I should say lasers, because we were using the first laser so much we had to buy another one because it was just so popular. We had so many people coming in asking it, hey, can I try that laser therapy? And it got too crowded in the one room, so we had to add another one. I'll get into a little bit more about the laser later, kind of how it works, some of the conditions it can treat. I could really do a whole show on this thing and might have to if I run out of time today. They're a really amazing piece of technology, honestly. If you've ever listened to this show before or talked with any of my patients, you'll know I'm a big believer in using ice packs. So much so, in fact, I send every single one of my patients home with their very own. Jenna and I were laughing this morning. She had hers taken from her. and so we got to get her another one. But that was nice of you to lend it out, to let somebody heal.
Yes. I think he needed it a little bit more than me after running 50 miles.
The ultra marathon. Yes. God bless. That is a feat. He definitely needed to get some ice on those knees for sure. We've tried all kinds of different ice packs. I've tried everything, right? The blue ones for the lunchbox. I've tried frozen veggies. None of them work as well or as comfortable as the ones that I found that I use at the Neo Clinic. Ask one of my patients. They'll tell you about those little blue ice packs in their freezer. Really comfortable to use. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's get back to this instability issue. Let's say you're one of those people that's got those prolonged static postures, right? That's stressing out your spine. The chronic overloading will lead to dysfunction on those vertebral joints in your spine. And when your joints aren't functioning well, this can lead to that instability that we talk about. This may not be problematic initially, right? You probably won't even feel it. But when we talk about instability, I'm not saying your spine is just going to crumble as soon as you get out of your chair. That's not what I mean. But as a chiropractor, I define that instability that I'm talking about as it's the loss of the ability of the spine or the joint to maintain the relationship between the vertebrae under a physiologic load. So let me break this down in kind of more layman's terms. You're at work all week long. You're creating this problem with this poor posture, this poor workstation. It probably won't show up. You know, you're not really going to notice it. You may be a little achy, but it's not going to show up in a big way until you're out in the yard and you bend over to pull that one weed. I can't tell you how many times I've heard all I did was bend down to pull one weed, doc, or I picked up my sock off the floor. It couldn't possibly have hurt my back. And then I have to explain that, well, you know, what do you do every day? What is your normal day like? And this is probably an issue that began while you were putting small amounts of stress on your spine every day for over 8 hours a day for the past 20 years. Probably didn't take care of those little warning lights, those little, hey, I'm a little stiff, I'm a little sore. Maybe you felt that ache or twinge, but you never got it checked out. And now that physiologic load has changed when you bent down to pull that one weed or pick up the sock, and it's that proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. I guess in this case, the weed that broke your back. And unfortunately, this leads us down that kind of self-perpetuating cycle of dysfunction, stiffness, and then eventually pain. I like to pull some numbers from research about this stuff, and it says that recurrent back pain will affect around half the population that have ever experienced acute low back pain. And those patients that decide to forego going and visiting a chiropractor or physical therapy treatments, chronic back pain can happen more than 60% of the time. But there is good news about this stuff. It's treatable. The conservative care that your chiropractor provides will not only provide the pain relief that we were talking about, but it can prevent this cycle from becoming part of your world. Jenna's given me the signal that that's basically all the time I have this morning. I appreciate everybody that texted in with questions. I'm so sorry I didn't get to very many of those this week, but I promise I'll get them answered for you next time. My name is Dr. Ben McMillan. My practice is called the Neo Clinic. We're located on Creighton Road, right across the street from Walmart. Our phone number is 850-479-SPINE. That's one number too many. You knew that. Our listeners are smart. Just stop when you get to that fourth number. I hope everybody has a great weekend and be safe.